Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, yeah, the way for ideas to, for us to be able to process ideas is to hear all the ideas and to hear challenges to ideas.
Yeah.
And fight through that. You know, it's how you get better ideas.
Yeah. Especially when they all work together to get rid of anything that disagrees with their political position, like Alex Jones and Donald Trump. It's no, and Andrew Tate is another recent example where they take these people and they just unperson them from the internet. You are not allowed anywhere in the course of a day. Uber goes so far as to delete you because you said naughty things.
Welcome back to The Tack Show. We're your hosts, Remington.
And Chase.
And today, we're going to talk about Twitter.
We are going to talk about Twitter. Twitter's got all sorts of weird goings on right now.
Chase is more informed about Twitter than I am. So Chase, tell me about Twitter.
Okay, so Twitter's been going on for a few years, yeah?
So I've heard.
Yeah.
I haven't really used it ever. Whenever I need to tweet something, I send it to you or Mac. That's how I use Twitter.
Remember how he said Alaska is 10 years behind in technology? I think that's carried into Utah now.
Yeah, I brought it with me. No, I don't use it. I see tweets that people post on Facebook. you know.
Yeah, Twitter.
The news talks about tweets like it's a thing now. So
yeah, the news constantly talks about tweets.
Yeah, I don't watch the news either.
And that's what makes Twitter important, is that it's so
tweeted,
utilized in political discourse.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true.
Carry on. I'm excited to talk about something I don't know about. That's what this show's all about.
Learning. Sure. All right, so the last few months specifically, Twitter's been in flux because Elon Musk offered to buy it for $44 billion at $54.90 a share, because why wouldn't Elon Musk put in an offer that has $4.90 in it, right? Like, that's, it's just...
I don't know what that means.
Okay. Oh, sorry. It was $54.20. It's $4.20.
Oh, okay.
Wrong reference. I don't know why I said $54.90. $4.20. I apologize.
Okay.
$54.20.
Yeah, no. Yeah, weed's been legal in Alaska forever, so.
Yeah. So $4.20 was the reference there. In his offer, he added that 20 cents per share so that he could have his $4.20 joke.
Okay, gotcha. Very cool.
Yep.
If you're into that kind of thing.
Well,
I'm sure people are going to tweet about it later.
Initially, they said, we're going to deny that because we don't think you can actually fund it. Then he started securing funding, and they said, oh, well, there goes that argument. Okay. Elon Musk says, hey, send me all the information about your bots. I want to know how many there are. Make sure I'm actually paying what it's worth, what I think I can make it worth, not paying for a bunch of bots. There are a lot of bots on Twitter. Everyone who uses Twitter knows that there's a lot of bots, or not just fake users, but some, I think they call them super users. One person will have like 15 accounts. Like take Mitt Romney, for example.
Take him where?
He had multiple accounts.
Okay.
And he would post something on his one account and then use his other accounts to boost up his other thing, saying, look how smart Mitt Romney is. And he was all of the accounts.
He's so smart. I mean, that was pretty smart to do that. So, you know, there's that.
There's that. So that was something Mitt Romney was doing, and those exist. Those are also being, I think, included in the bot numbers, is when one person has multiple accounts that they're using for boosting their own initial account.
Nice.
Yeah. He had a pen name he was using. I can't remember what it was. I wish I remembered. It was a funny name.
I think you told it to me before.
Anyway, so Elon Musk was worried about bot numbers, so he says. So he wanted a discount or didn't want to go through with the deal. Tried to get out of the deal because he wasn't getting real bot numbers. Now, Twitter, in Elon Musk's defense, has submitted to the SEC for the last, I don't even know how many years, every quarter, how many bots there are on the platform. The percentage of bots to people has never once changed in their SEC filing. It says 5%, no matter what. Twitter's board is not motivated to say there are more or less, because if they say there's fewer than that, well, they could be looked at as not being honest. If they say there are more than that, well, they don't really want to know how many there are.
Well, the value would decline.
The value would decline. And they're better off just not knowing how many bots there are and pretending there's 5% and letting that problem fester on its own, because they're how people perceive them as the management of Twitter would go down if there were more bots than they thought.
As it probably should.
As it probably should.
Right.
So they're not motivated to even look into it. There was a Twitter whistleblower a few weeks ago that came out and said they're not looking into this. They don't know how many, and they are willfully ignorant and won't look into how many there are.
Yeah, I could just like picture that on a resume. You know, in Alaska, that wouldn't really carry a lot of weight. You'd be like, oh, so I see you were a Twitter whistleblower. Next.
Yeah, so there was that whistleblower that came out a few weeks ago, which helped Elon Musk's case, Elon Musk trying to get out of the deal.
Or as the Little Mermaid calls it, a whistleblower.
A whistleblower, except there is an H there, so that is correct. Unlike world.
Okay, so certain regions in America call it a whistleblower.
Whistleblower. So that
Quish,
happened.
Quish was the word, not world.
Elon Musk tried to get out of the deal, said, I don't want to buy Twitter anymore.
Because they didn't give him the numbers?
Because they wouldn't give him the numbers.
Okay.
What they did is they gave him access to the full blast of tweets, the fire hose of tweets that comes out. They gave his team ability to look through them and try to analyze how many there are. His analytics said that it was a lot more bots than Twitter said it was. He tried to back out of the deal. Then he was going to court. Depositions were supposed to start on the 17th because they were suing him to force him to go through with the deal. Deposition's supposed to happen in a week from today. Well, last Wednesday, Elon Musk says, you know what? I changed my mind. I tried to get a discount on this. There's a few reasons people think it could be. One of the reasons is that he put out a tweet about, it was, do you think we should have UN-sanctioned votes on these four regions that Russia just annexed? And if the votes say they want to be annexed by Russia, as UN is watching, and that's what the vote comes out to be, then we let them be annexed and avoid World War III. Or do we want to continue with things as they are? Those are the two votes. The votes were looking very strong one way, and then all towards the let the UN-sanctioned votes happen, and then all of a sudden just got swarmed by the other side and completely overwhelmed. He said, wow, the bots came out in force today. Zelensky put out a tweet that said, do you want a pro-Ukraine Elon Musk or a anti-Ukraine Elon Musk? There was some high-profile pro-Ukraine activist that was saying Elon Musk hasn't done anything for Ukraine. Elon Musk says, what are you talking about? I spent $80 million of my own money to make sure you people had internet after Russia knocked it out. I don't see what you've done. So the shots have been fired all around. And in the midst of all that, Elon Musk, the very next day, puts in an offer, says, you know what? I want to buy Twitter for the full price again. Whatever. I'm just buying it. And he says in public statements, he's saying it's because there not being a space where people can speak freely is very detrimental and could lead us into World War III. He doesn't want that. That's what he's saying. Other people are saying the more likely reason, which I think both factors matter, but I think this second reason is probably more so the reason.
Okay.
His lawyers looked at him and said, this lawsuit that's happening is costing you a lot of money. It is a 50-50 shot whether or not you get anything out of doing this lawsuit, and it will cost you a lot of money. We don't think things are going to go your way. This judge has been just going basically with what Twitter wanted the whole way. We recommend you either settle or put in an offer now and just avoid all the deposition. Elon Musk, being a man who doesn't have a whole lot of time with 10 kids that apparently he's with all the time, and several of the world's largest businesses that he helps manage, probably said, you know what? I could not go be deposed. That would be nice. those two factors weighing in his mind of everything going on with Ukraine, and the lawsuit happening, probably went, whatever, I'll just put in the offer. Friday, he was supposed, the offer had been accepted by Twitter, and on Friday, he was projected to be taking over Twitter. In the 11th hour, before the paperwork was signed, Twitter rejected the offer that they were suing Elon Musk
to make,
to force him to accept.
To do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the day that Elon Musk made that offer, all of a sudden, everyone's following on Twitter dropped. It was like, oh, crap. He just bought us. He's actually going to find the bots. Delete the bots. And that day, people are losing thousands and thousands of followers all of a sudden. Just everyone across the board saw a drop in followers that day. So that's the theory, is that all of a sudden there were all these bots. Delete. So now we're in a situation where Twitter has denied Elon Musk the purchase of Twitter for the same price that they're suing Elon Musk to force him to purchase. I don't know what to say about that, but that's happening.
Okay.
They still expect Elon Musk to, they being lawyers and experts on the issue, still think he will take over Twitter early this week, because odds are the judge will look at that and go, you're suing him to force an offer that he just offered again, and you denied him? He didn't even ask for settlement? What? So they expect the judge to just, like, stamp it. All right, off you go. They expect him to take over early this week. Hmm. Parash Agrawal, the CEO of Twitter, has been making jokes on Twitter the whole time where he said when Elon Musk put in the $44 billion offer the second time, he goes, I think I'm going to get fired. And then a couple days later, he's like, you know, I thought I was going to be fired months ago, but I am still here. So the CEO knows his days are numbered, because he and Elon Musk have had their unsavory back and forth when Elon Musk was supposed to end up on the board of Twitter and then was told, no, you can't actually do these things and you can't say anything negative about Twitter while you're on the board. And he goes, I don't like that. I'm going to buy it outright instead. I will buy Twitter. They tried to stop him from buying Twitter. They took what's called a poison pill legal approach. Remember when we talked about that? To try to stop that. But now we've come to here. Elon Musk is very likely to have it within a few days. Maybe Twitter's trying to stop it again while suing him to force him to do it. I don't know. What do you think?
So what does that look like then if he gets it? Like, what does that look like on a practical level for tweeters?
Well,
those who tweet.
First thing, Twitter goes private. You will no longer be able to publicly... It will no longer be publicly traded. You will no longer be able to purchase stocks of Twitter. You will have no control over the rules or any votes on what it says.
Is that common for an IP, like a public company, to go private? Does that happen very often?
Yeah, it happens.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, one of the more recent ones I know about is a company called Donjoy Global. I was working at a company that was working with them. They're a medical company. If you've ever had, like, knee braces, there's a good chance it says Donjoy on the side, that company. They bought back all of their shares and went private again. It's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. You can go private from being public. All that has to happen is someone gets a controlling share and then says, all right, I'm offering everyone this amount. I taking control of the company. And then they purchase all the shares. It's now theirs. It's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. Now, what is uncommon is someone buying a company worth $44 billion and taking it private. That doesn't happen often. There aren't many people who have enough money to even attempt that.
Yeah. Yeah, probably just Elon Musk, myself, Jeff Bezos, only a few of us.
Maybe. No, I don't. Yes, I think... there's a few royalty from around, like Saudi Arabian royalty might be able to. Bill Gates, you know, people like that.
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris can do anything.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. But what does it mean for, like, regular tweeters?
So here's...
Is that what you call yourselves?
Are you a tweeter?
Tweeters.
If you use Twitter, are you a tweeter?
Tweeter.
The people of Twitter will...
The people of Twitter.
Look at a few things. Few likely happenings. First and foremost, already confirmed by Elon Musk, when he takes over, Alex Jones and Donald Trump will be immediately allowed back on the platform. Mm-hmm. In order, it would be absolutely ridiculous for Elon Musk to take the platform and not let them back on. There is too much value in all the people that have moved over to places like Truth Social and Parler and stuff like that, places that have become right-wing echo chambers, I think to their own chagrin.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot more value in allowing those people back on Twitter to raise the stock price.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that are going to happen on Twitter, he is going to add a subscription service to Twitter called Twitter Blue. It's already existed, but he's going to change it. He's going to make it easier to access. It's not like you get your blue check mark and you pay a little bit of money. It's, okay, here's the deal. You can pay a couple bucks a month. You get an edit button to your tweets. You have 30 minutes to edit your tweet a certain limited number of times after you tweet it out. So if there's like a spelling error, you can fix it. But people will have access to all your previous versions of the tweet. So it's not like if you edit it, you've deleted the fact that you said something awful.
Okay.
So that's one of the changes we're looking at. We're looking at bringing these people back on, which will increase the value of Twitter immediately. We're looking at rule changes, or at least rule applications that hopefully are more fair. There's no way to guarantee that because we have no say in it, mm-hmm. right? It's basically people going on Elon Musk's word that what he is saying he wants is actually what he wants and is what he is going to do.
Okay. Quick plug. We have a Twitter, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right. What's our Twitter?
The Tack Team.
The Tack Team. Go.
It might be the Tack Show now, though.
The
actually.
Tack Show. The Tack. You know what we look like.
Yeah, it's our logo.
What? How do people? Do they subscribe on that? Is it follow?
They follow.
I don't. Do
you don't remember all the signs in Japan that say "Follow me on Twitter."
Follow me on.
The L's are R's. It says "Follow me." Follow me on Twitter. On Twitter.
I English very very like.
Follow me on Twitter.
Somebody told me that in one of the walking subways. You remember the walking subways?
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's a thing in Japan. Walking subways. It's like underground walking tunnels.
Yes.
Anyway, okay. So people, yeah, go follow us on Twitter, please.
Yep.
Or I will never tweet you.
Macro, I might. So that's what we're looking at with Twitter. It's another thing that we're looking at. Elon Musk has had an image for a long time. To make a website called X.com. And this vision he's had for this website is people call it a super app. You can do lots of things. This most similar to what he is imagining is Weibo or WeChat in China, where people do everything on there. You do shopping on there, you do Facebook type things, you do Twitter type things. It's like a super app that has everything in it. That's what he wants X.com to be. He's always had this. He's owned the domain for a long, long time. He said originally he was trying to turn like PayPal into that, but sold out of PayPal, obviously took all the funds, got into Tesla and SpaceX and the Boring Company and now Twitter. But he was in a kind of presentation, a Tesla day they had about a month or two ago. Which is where they presented that the Cybertruck is already being tooled up. They're going to start production next summer. He made a passive comment. Someone asked him about his purchase of Twitter, and he goes, well, I don't need to buy Twitter. But I believe if I buy Twitter, I can make my creation of X.com happen about 5 years faster. So that's his vision of Twitter. He wants to take it. He wants to grow it. He wants to turn it into kind of an everything app that people will join. Somewhat Facebook is sort of on that path mm-hmm. where you can
even payments and marketplace and all that stuff.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly. So Facebook's really been useful. On its way towards yeah. that.
It's almost made Craigslist obsolete in a way. You know, it's not obsolete.
Yeah,
still people still use Craigslist, KSL, things like that. But it's
very useful to just have it all on Facebook.
Right.
Yes, and I think Elon Musk is planning on taking Twitter that direction and mm-hmm. trying to just overtake Facebook and become kind of the WeChat of the United States. We'll see if he pulls that off. I mean, that is quite the goal. But I think that's where he's going with it. So all those different things I just listed, there's the short term, which is changing of rules, people being let back on the platform, a lot of people working at Twitter being fired. Some people have like whistleblown their jobs at Twitter at how they would work like 3 hours a week or a month and just get paid for it because it's like a total socialist commie environment in there.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
He wants everyone to come back to work in person. Otherwise, you're fired. And you have to work actual hours. If you're not good at your job, you're fired. So situations like that he's talking about, these are the immediate term changes you expect to see in Twitter. Mm-hmm. Long-term changes, you can expect him to fold it into his vision for X.com and start releasing a lot more features inside of Twitter.
Interesting.
Yep.
That was a lot of information.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been following the situation for a little while. One of those cultural issues that I follow.
I remember when the number of characters you could tweet doubled.
Yeah. Yeah. That happened.
That was about as into Twitter as I was.
Yeah. Well, going through the vents.
Do you want to check the in the?
Wait.
We're coming up to time anyway. No.
No, we're not. We still have 10 minutes. Yeah. Okay. So
we can close that, and I think it helps when it's closed. The air is cold. We only have cold air set right now, so
there we go.
It's not going to blow cold air during a cold day.
Yeah, I've been following Twitter for a while. I like to follow the cultural issues as well as the legal issues. The cultural issues tend to be downstream of the politics that are coming and the legal decisions that are coming. Public opinion tends to affect what happens in the legal sphere a lot more than you would expect.
Yes. So people are like rude on Facebook.
Yeah.
But it seems like Twitter is like the ultimate platform for rudeness.
Oh, it rewards it so much.
Like, it seems like...
Yes.
Like, as like we did the Unfreedom School episode the other day.
Yeah.
And that's like, I mean, I probably should do an Unfreedom School on Twitter, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that, how to... And you could call it how to grow your following on Twitter, and you would not be lying.
Yeah.
Like, that's that... As long as you aren't, like, outright harassing... And don't say anything that is unwoke. You can grow on Twitter quite fast just by being rude and woke. Yeah. Yeah, that's generally Twitter, sadly. Yeah.
You should tweet some of the stuff I say behind the scenes. That's pretty rude sometimes.
Not woke, though. It's not woke. That's the type of things that'll get you banned off Twitter very quickly, actually.
Don't use Remington's content. That's why I don't tweet.
Yeah, don't
that's
tweet.
That's not why I don't.
Don't tweet Remington.
Okay. I'll keep on not
Elon
tweeting.
Once Elon Musk takes over tweeting or Twitter, then you can tweet, I guess.
Probably still not going to tweet.
Yeah, probably not. Twitter is very influential on our politics and our news, though. Things that happen on Twitter tend to be perceived by the political people in power as public opinion.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yes.
Because Twitter's like a junk show, man.
Yes, but...
It's like a cesspool of cess.
Yeah.
In a pool.
Yeah, So Twitter, because of that, it's actually pretty important to have a very free speech Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ban you if you're breaking the law, but that's about it. Otherwise, you end up with a lack of free speech in your public square. Twitter is not the public square, technically, right? It's a private business. Mm-hmm. But it functions in conjunction with the government to get rid of dissenting voices, and therefore becomes very similar to a public square, especially with the number of people that use it on a daily basis. It's hard to argue that it isn't a public square, so it should be treated as such.
And that reminds me, that kind of gives me a thought, right? Like, when we talk all the time about having real conversations in real life.
Yes.
Right? It's so much easier to silence people when their only voice is online.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, if we want to be heard or we want ideas to be able to flourish, like, you have to take it into real life. Just because it's so easy for them to just be like, oh, let's just turn that guy off, you know?
Yeah.
To do that in real life, they have to physically apprehend you or kill you.
Yeah.
Like, they can't just, like, push a button and make your voice go away.
And they have to go through a legal system to make it happen. At least in the U.S.
Not yeah, I mean, like, physically they have to do those things. Yeah, like, legitimately, if they're going to do that, they have to go through a legal system.
Yes.
Right?
There are safeguards in place.
It's very hard to silence somebody in the public sphere without, like, doing something illegal
yeah.
or immoral.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can just push a button on those platforms and just be like, hey, look, you're silent. And for people who are just only talking on those things, only sharing and philosophizing and communicating on those platforms, it's 100% silent.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just instant, you no longer have a voice.
Well, a great news piece that happened just this last week with regards to this. Do you know who Nick Recchietta is? Recchietta Law?
No, but it sounds delicious.
Nick Recchietta is a...
It's like a spanakopita, like a...
It's a person.
Okay.
Named Nick Recchietta, who...
Who
runs a YouTube channel called Recchietta Law.
Uh-huh.
And in this YouTube channel...
the feta cheese and the spinach. And
they live stream... I'm just going to keep going here. They live stream court cases. Mm-hmm. They'll have a panel of lawyers discussing what's going on.
I had the best baklava at this little Greek joint at, like, the Alaska State Fair. No, it was, like, the Fairbanks, Alaska, like, Tana Valley Fair. Anyway, it was a really good place.
Congrats.
It was so, like, gooey and delicious. I sometimes buy the baklava package from Costco, and it's got, like, 10 different kinds of baklava in it. It's delicious. It's great if you want to get fat because you just eat baklava. Lots of kinds. It's got, like, pistachio. It's got, like, the walnut. It's got, like, all kinds of different things. It's delicious.
Can you describe for the viewers, definitely not for me, what baklava is?
Okay.
Definitely not for me.
Yeah.
I'm not uncultured swine.
Okay. So baklava is it's a layered Greek dessert. Usually the components in it are phyllo dough, nuts, and honey or some kind of sweetened syrup.
Gotcha.
A lot of times you might have, like, cinnamon in it or other spices. And it's a kind of slightly crunchy because of the layers of phyllo dough.
And
which, not for Chase, but for our viewers, is a very thin dough.
Thank you. I thank you for the viewers, not for myself.
Very thin pastry. and then, yeah, there's the nuts, and sometimes it's dry and just kind of crispy.
Okay.
And sometimes it's, like, very, like, moist, like, soaked in the syrup or the honey, and just very gooey.
Interesting.
The best one I ever had was just super gooey. But the kind that you get at Costco, because it's a shelf package, it's not like a fridge package. They're generally, like, mostly crispy.
Gotcha.
And they're not not gooey per se. But
okay.
But they're delicious.
Well, now we know.
Now
I know.
Yeah, Jason, you're the only person in the world who doesn't know what baklava is.
Never had it.
We should go get some baklava together.
Tag Team Reacts to baklava.
Wow. Anyway.
So the viewers, thank you.
The more you know.
So
his name is
Nick Recchietta.
Yeah.
He live streams legal court cases that are happening, that are being live streamed. He live streams those on his channel, and you can listen to his and his panel of lawyers.
Too bad we couldn't listen to Ghislaine Maxwell's.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was not publicly available. There were some lawyers that went in person and were live tweeting what was going on so you could follow the case as best as they could put down for people.
If you tweet.
But that one was not publicly streamed. I would hope that the federal government would catch up with state governments in allowing things to be publicly streamed, because more transparency in these court cases is not a bad thing, in my opinion. Now, what is a bad thing that can come from more transparency is Mobs protests outside them, yes. Yeah. Which is illegal if they would just arrest the people doing it. That is constitutionally illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Outright in the Constitution, if you protest within a certain distance of courthouses or the homes of anyone involved in these court cases, you are breaking the law and should be arrested. This is written in the Constitution, not in any laws that were after the fact.
Right.
It's very basic law that is not being upheld.
To maintain impartiality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that people aren't changing their votes, especially the jury, especially so that the jury is not threatened into voting the wrong direction.
I can't believe you never had baklava.
I've never had baklava.
Okay, but tell me about Nick Baklava or whatever his name is.
Nick Recchietta. He has a great channel where you can watch these court cases and take all these lawyers' opinions on it. There is one other YouTube channel that does this that tends to have very left-leaning lawyers on. There is another one, there's Nick Recchietta, that the lawyers tend to be more right to central-leaning.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So that channel got nuked from YouTube in the middle of a live stream. Just gone. What happened? He got copyright struck 3 times in the matter of a couple minutes. Taken him off YouTube. Everything deleted. Just gone. While he was on a live stream. Just...
Can you... how? If it's a live stream?
Because...
Did he play Disney music in the background or something?
No.
Was he watching a Marvel
film? He didn't even get struck on the live stream he was doing. A mob of reporters... People who push the report button on YouTube.
Oh, not reporters.
Yes.
Those who report.
Went to old videos and started reporting all of them for copyright infringement. And the mob hit, I guess, flagged YouTube content sensors, automatic sensors, and just got him pulled.
Yeah, I think that that shouldn't happen. I think that if you report somebody, it should go through the process before they're punished.
You would think, right?
That's what I would think.
So he got kicked off YouTube... And then YouTube reinstated
You said Facebook the first time.
No, YouTube.
So YouTube.
YouTube. He's a YouTube channel. You got kicked off of YouTube in the middle of a YouTube live stream.
Okay. And you said Facebook Live the first time. Oh. So I was confused.
YouTube live stream. He's a YouTuber.
We're talking Greek food and now you're talking YouTube.
Anyway, so we're talking YouTube. He gets kicked off YouTube. His channel's deleted. Everything's gone. He gets reinstated.
Okay. Good for him.
However, they're leaving a 2-week suspension on his channel and he can't do anything for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, I don't see that he did anything wrong, but he's gone for at least a couple weeks, and then he'll get his channel back.
Okay. What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story, we got here from censorship on one side happening, being a problem to open public discourse.
Okay.
I was saying, this is a story related to that, that is happening right now, is ongoing, where someone, for their political opinion, just nuked off the platform. You're not allowed to say those things. You're not allowed to tell everyone about what's going on in the legal sphere or an interpretation of the law that we don't agree with. Goodbye.
Hmm.
These are the dangers that happen when one group maintains power over all of the not-so-public square that is actually the public square. That's how we got there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
So...
That's not good.
It's not good. I would really like to see a lot more fairness on these platforms.
Well, yeah, the way for ideas to for us to be able to process ideas is to hear all the ideas and to hear challenges to ideas.
Yeah.
and fight through that. You know, it's how you get better ideas.
Yeah. Especially when they all work together to get rid of anything that disagrees with their political position, like Alex Jones and Donald Trump. And Andrew Tate is another recent example where they take these people and they just unperson them from the internet. You are not allowed anywhere in the course of a day. Uber goes so far as to delete you because you said naughty things.
You know, it's funny. I was looking up a video about Andrew Tate on a Piers Morgan interview that he did.
Yeah.
And there was all these, you know, response reaction videos to it. And just like in the same scrolling that I'm doing, you see Andrew Tate destroys Piers Morgan on interview. A couple down from that says Piers Morgan destroys Andrew Tate on interview.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting because you can get so much nuance and different takes. And when you put it all together, then you get a more complete picture. Like, yes. Will we ever have a complete picture of things? Maybe not. But the more we can input, the more we can get a more complete picture. And it's interesting because there's such a difference between one destroying the other and vice versa.
Free speech is a fascist talking point.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Sorry.
Thank you. We needed
to correct
that
for you.
We had to say that so we don't get canceled.
Anyway, that's a thing. We definitely do want more discourse so that we can get a full image, just like you're saying. And there are powers that seem to not want that to happen. I think one of the better reactions to Tate I've seen was Andrew Klavan from the Daily Wire did a reaction to a bunch of clips that his producers put together of Andrew Tate, where he says Andrew Tate does a really good job talking about most topics, but the one topic where he fails pretty heavily is relating to women, which makes sense because of how he made his money and how he views women. The way Andrew Tate originally got wealthy, and it's no secret, he's public about this, he contacted his multiple girlfriends. He had six girlfriends or something. He's had different numbers at different times, but at least six is the lowest number he's put out. So he had six different girlfriends around the world because he's like this world champion kickboxer. He's got a lady everywhere he goes, basically. And he called them and said, hey, come on over to my house. I'm moving over to Romania. Just come on over. Four of them showed up. They didn't know about each other. He said, here's what I want to do. I want to start an OnlyFans company where you would, it wasn't OnlyFans back then. It was just cam girl work back then. Mm-hmm. He said, but if you want to do it, we can make a lot of money. We can make this happen. He said, two of the girls left, two of them stayed. And it went so far as that he was like running all the business operations while they were doing the camera things. And to the point that he would be sitting there actually responding to people commenting while she's pretending to be typing on her computer. And used that to expand the company to where it's got like four different physical locations that girls can sign up to go do it. They go to this location, safe place, where they can do their videos and then go back home. And that's how he runs the business. He's a gentle pimp, let's say. And he says, I don't care if people call me a pimp. I take it as a compliment. So that's the way he made his money, which you end up with this very easy position of like, well, women are kind of objects. If that's like objectifying women is how you make all your wealth. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Andrew Klavan's take on it was he does really well up to when it comes to talking about women, because he has to defend his previous actions that made his wealth while trying to say that I'm an upstanding person. You know, so that's that. Andrew Klavan had a very good take on it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that should be interesting stuff. We'll look to what happens with the land of the tweets over the next couple days.
Yeah, hopefully we see a takeover. I personally would really like to see a takeover of Twitter.
I'm not invested that much in Twitter, except for the effect that it has on society.
Yes, exactly.
Which I don't think is great so far.
Invested in. Basically, what it comes down to is if Twitter stays the way it is, well, we have a definitely bad outcome. If Twitter switches, we have a maybe a bad outcome, maybe a good outcome. I think we're more likely to have a better outcome if Elon Musk takes over Twitter than if not. But we definitely have a bad outcome as it currently stands. So it's better than, roll the dice. Let's see. It's better than guaranteed bad option.
All right. There you have it. You heard it here first, folks. Unless you heard it somewhere else first, in which case.
You didn't hear it here first.
Subscribe, and then you'll hear it here first.
Yeah, so. Make sure to like the video. It really helps us out. It helps spread our stuff everywhere. We're trying to make changes to make sure that when people push the like button for us, and we really appreciate when you do, that it will increase the amount of benefit we get. We're making changes to make sure that we are getting out good content that you guys like on a consistent basis. And, you know, we're doing our best. Subscribe if you like our content. Share it with your friends if you think this is things that people would like to know about, or if it's stuff you're interested in, you know, just share it.
One last reminder about book club. Head over to thetaxshow.com, sign up over there. Let's start sharing our thoughts. And the book that we're going to be reading together starting immediately is called The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt. So go check it out, whether you read or you do the Audible thing, whatever it is. And let's meet over there and get rolling on our book club. That we just sound like old women saying that.
Hey, join
we need
my
a book club.
We need a book club. I'll bring the cookies.
Yeah, but like all the famous people have book clubs, like Stephen Curry and stuff, have their own book clubs. And yeah, it's actually becoming a pretty common thing.
We have a children's book about Stephen Curry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like, I think it's called The Boy That Never Quit or something like that.
He is a phenomenal three-point shooter. Best that has ever been.
I could take him. I could take him out to Spanakopita and Baklava.
Guy's legit won multiple games by sinking half-court shots at the buzzer.
Nice.
He's a ridiculous shot. Anyway.
All right, guys. Until next time, please do your best to stay dangerous.
Keep your conversations tactical.
And we'll see you.